So, speaking about affirmative prayer, I guess I'd like to start by just contrasting it a little bit to traditional prayer, because that was a big change for me when I first learned about affirmative prayer, coming from a traditional Christian background, where we ask God to answer a prayer. It was very different. And the first affirmative prayer that I learned was more of a prayer of gratitude, making a statement of gratitude before the fact, before the manifestation, and how powerful that can be as one of the most powerful acts of faith, to state thank you before you actually experience what you desire. And then when I got into religious science and started learning about spiritual mind treatment, that took affirmative prayer to a very specific, I guess you'd call it sort of a formula. And with five steps, usually it's taught with five steps. And I think that, so the affirmative, the first kind of version of affirmative prayer, which was very much about gratitude, it was heart-opening. It was I was willing, you know, to experience something, and I was saying thank you. And to me, it was very, it tapped into more my intuitive side. With the spiritual mind treatment, why I think it's especially powerful is that it taps into your intuitive side and your logical side, because the steps are very logical, and that's to me important because. From my experience, what gets in the way of embracing the truth, the spiritual truth that we speak in a prayer, is my logical side, which, you know, oftentimes it's kind of that inner critic steps in and says, well, that's not true. Or, that'll never happen. You know?
Right.
Yeah. So the logic of spiritual mind treatment helps to quiet, for me, the inner critic. When we think about that first step of aligning ourselves with the grandness of spirit, that all things are possible through spirit, that all of the qualities that we desire to express from in life are there, are right there in that essence, that spirit, that universal presence of love, you know, whatever you want to call that something, that energy, that entity, that there's something that is there universally expressing those wonderful qualities of love and peace and harmony and joy and wisdom. And so once we acknowledge, okay, that is there. There is something that holds that energy of those qualities, creativity. And then go to the second step and align ourselves with that. Now, to me, that can be another sticking point for me, because I can see God is all and everything and powerful and all possibilities. But when I go to the second step where I'm saying, I am that too. I am at least a part of that. I'm a spiritual being. I am a unique individuation of that grander version. You know, that feels really big. And the human side and all the human conditioning, again, that inner critic steps in and says, really? And you know, some of the things from the past, perhaps messages you heard when you were a child, or, you know, from wherever you heard them, teachers or people that were, maybe didn't mean to be, but were not as supportive as they could be, you know, saying, who do you think you are? Or, you know, statements of, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not disciplined enough, whatever not enough message you might have received, even though as adults we maybe think, I don't believe that, I think there is a part of us, there's that conditioning that in the subconscious, wherever you want to put it, that still can rise up and say, and repeat those messages. And I think in the book that you're about to start, the Sacred Continuum, our life between prayers, it was really interesting because we can get into a space of really feeling a prayer very powerfully and believing it and embracing it and feeling it. And then it's, you know, we finish the prayer and we move back into what we might call normal life in the physical realm. You know, that's where, okay, we've said this prayer, we've said we believe it, and then we go on and how are we being in the world in relationship to that prayer? And if you're not incongruent with that, you're kind of sending the universe a mixed message. And so there are ways to find a way. There are ways to be, you know, congruent, to feel as though you're living from that place, from the space that you've prayed from. It does take, I think, an awareness and practice. And most of our spiritual activities we call practices. And I think we call them that because we're always practicing. We're practicing our spirituality. We're practicing to be spiritual, which we have to do because we're in this physical world, which it's all spiritual, and yet there's so much of it that doesn't feel that way. So I guess getting back to Judy's question about, you know, how do you get inspired to pray when you're not feeling it? And I would say breathe. Just take some deep breaths, you know, get yourself centered. That works for me. That's a very powerful tool. Breath is probably one of the most powerful physical tools that we have, that we carry with us everywhere we go. If you can breathe deeply, you can change what's going on in your body, and that can affect the way you feel in your brain and in your mind. And if you can change the way you feel in your body, it does make a difference in allowing you to shift to a different frequency, a higher vibration, if you will. So I always tell people to remember breathing, that if you're ever feeling, you know, stressed and it just, you can't get into the space of prayer, it's like, I just can't get there. Just, if you can, just sit and breathe for a few minutes. It really will make a difference. You cannot say stay stressed and breathe deeply at the same time. They're two inconsistent behaviors. And there's a real physiological reason for that. When we're stressed, we breathe shallowly. When we're breathing deeply, we're taking ourselves into a place of relaxation. So that's one tool that comes to mind. For me, and I'll talk a little bit more about this later, but for me, writing a prayer, if I can't get into my thoughts are just so racing that I can't get into a place of speaking a prayer or thinking a prayer. Writing is a very powerful tool. Again, it's something that slows us down. Because if you're handwriting, you can't keep up with the speed of your thoughts. You can't write as fast as you can think. Mm-hmm. And so your thoughts have to slow down. And I have found just amazing insight and revelations from writing, you know, journal kind of writing, where I'll never forget being very upset one time and angry and, you know, taking it to the page and writing about it. And in the process, it was revealed to me that what I was really angry about was something entirely different. And I don't know that I ever would have come to that awareness without the writing process. I guess the other really logical thing to do if you're not, if you just can't get into a place of prayer, is to call a prayer practitioner or a friend, you know, somebody who can easily know the spiritual truth about any challenge that you're dealing with. So there's a few options there. Gail had asked about, you know, if we don't pray, does it matter, or, you know, are we still being taken care of? And I would say absolutely. I think prayer is a statement, and, you know, in the traditional prayer, the statement was to God about a desire. And I think spiritual mind treatment is a statement to yourself about that you know the truth, that you're willing to embrace a spiritual truth. It's speaking, you know, in logical steps. God is all. I am that. Because of that, I am willing to experience this. I am open to experience this. I can attract this experience. I am creative. You know, it's that logical sequence that I think is really powerful. And I believe that, you know, we're always being cared for, and all the support in the universe is there for us. I have been told that as far as angels are concerned, that the angels are always willing to help, but we have to ask. So different points of view, different philosophies, but anyway, I think making a statement to the universe, to yourself, that you're willing, ready, able, open to receive this desire, this manifestation, that's powerful. So getting to what gets in the way for me, getting back to those messages, the inner critic that steps in when I, you know, write a powerful affirmation or make a powerful statement. And it might be real flowery and pretty, you know, and I really like it. And then I hear in the little voice that's saying, well, that'll never happen. You know, what do you do then? And this is where, I don't know if, probably most of you have heard the statement, once you've been in religious science for a while, they shorten spiritual mind treatment to just treat. And they'll say, treat and move your feet. And I think that's part of the message in this book, is to, when you're in the world, when you're moving your feet, to be in alignment with your prayers. And so there's a number of ways that I see. I mean, there's infinite ways that you could move your feet and be in alignment with your prayers. One of the things that I think is probably one of the most powerful things is self-care. If you are taking care of yourself, if you're taking time for yourself, if you're being good to yourself, to me that's one of the most powerful statements of self-love, and it's a statement to the universe that I matter. It matters to me about me. I've been reading The Artist Way. I don't know if any of you have read that book. It's a fabulous book by Julia Cameron. And she taught, there's two major principles that she really stresses. And one is the morning pages, where you just write a stream of consciousness. And the point that she makes about that practice is, in the beginning, because you're just writing whatever comes to mind, in the beginning it may be, it could be complaining. It could be, you know, some people in religious science would say, well, that you're not focused on what you want, you're focused on what you don't want. And in the beginning, I think that's okay, because you're honoring the process and getting it out and not ignoring it or letting it fester. But as time goes on, what you write will change, and a lot of what I write today is prayers, and describing how I want my life to be. You know, so it can be like that. The other really interesting thing, though, and I think she actually brought this up more in another book I read by her, The Right to Write, that when you take time to write about your life, you're telling yourself that my life is interesting enough to write about. And it's also an exploration about who you are. It's a way to know yourself on a deeper level, because as I said before, when you write, things come up. Things are revealed about yourself, about your life, that maybe you either didn't notice, weren't aware of, or, you know, just hadn't taken the time to really reflect on. So that's one of the ways to honor yourself is those morning pages. It's journal writing. The other thing that Julia talks about is what she calls an artist's date. And she really, she focuses on, she calls it the artist child that lives within each of us. It's that inner child that wants to be creative, wants to play. And this artist date is you're making a date with yourself, basically. You, just yourself, you're going somewhere alone. You're going to do something that is enjoyable, that makes your heart sing. Doesn't have to cost a penny. You know, could be going somewhere out in nature, going to a museum, going to hear, you know, a free concert. But it also could be going to, you know, a thrift store, or an art supply store, or a museum, or, you know, whatever interests you. Just letting yourself have the experience by yourself. And doing it by yourself is a statement that I'm fun to be with. And so it's very affirming and nurturing, and it helps balance life, which tends to be a lot of work. And so it's a gift to yourself. And she suggests you do these artist dates once a week for at least an hour. And that too, to me, is a statement to the universe that I matter. I know that I'm worthy because I'm taking time with myself. That's a statement of recognizing your own worth. She also talks about protecting that child, that inner child, and when you're about to do something that perhaps you're stepping out of your own comfort zone, perhaps, you know, and you're willing to take action to support your desire, you know, this is the moving your feet part, that you only share that with people who really will support you. That if you have any naysayers or, you know, family members or, you know, whoever it might be that maybe wouldn't be, maybe would caution you about what you're doing, or just, you know, not be a cheerleader. To not share that, because you don't want anything to keep you from moving forward with what you want and to fulfill those desires. To fulfill the desires of the prayers that you're creating, that you're speaking and writing. So I made a list of some things that, you know, like I said, there's infinite ways that you can support your, move your feet and support your prayers. But I thought we could just go over them quickly. And then during the break, I'd like you to pair up and use your prayer request from today to pair up with someone and use that prayer request and discuss how you could move your feet about that prayer request, what actions you could take to support your prayer request, so that you're, you know, it's to me it's like a double energy. You know, you're making the prayer has energy, then you're taking action, that's supporting the prayer, so it's another way to support what you're asking for, you know, what you're asking for in your life, what you want. And so write a prayer. I already kind of talked about writing. Writing is a different energy. You know, putting something in black and white is a different energy than a spoken. The second one is create a vision board or treasure map. I think a lot of you that have been in science, religious science, are aware of vision boards, putting images on a board to remind you. So it's something to remind you about what you want. Those images are powerful, and you put that board somewhere where you're seeing it all the time. The third one is creating affirmations and posting them somewhere. That's very similar to a vision board, but it's more words. It's something you're going to read, maybe on the mirror of your bathroom, something that you'll read every day. And again, with those affirmations, if you create a really great affirmation and the inner critic speaks up and says, well, that'll never happen, or that's not true, you may need a bridging statement until you can get past that inner critic. And a bridging statement, you're taking that same affirmation and adding to the beginning of it, I'm willing to experience this, or I'm opening to this experience. You know, it's softening it. It doesn't sound as powerful, but if it can shut up your inner critic, I think it's worth it. The fourth one is to have a prayer partner, a prayer group, or a mastermind team. And it really matters. I mean, this group here, this is a support group, a spiritual support group that with people that you can go to that will pray with you, that will support your prayers and desires. Nurturing yourself. Well, I've talked about that with the art estate. It's important to, you know, you may think of it as goofing off, but playing is serious work. It's serious. It's really serious stuff. I mean, it's important to play, to have that balance. The sixth one is about in the fourth step of spiritual mind treatment. They talk about releasing the prayer into the law, into that universal law, to that creative medium, just letting it go, trusting that you let it go. You're not going to worry about it anymore. You've done the prayer treatment. You know, it's done in the mind of God, and you're letting it go. You might also include in that release step something about that you're willing to let go of anything that's blocking the fulfillment of this prayer. And sometimes we're not even aware that things are in the subconscious mind. We're not even aware of what's blocking something. And so just a statement of saying, I'm willing to release any thought, any belief, anything from my past that might be blocking this. And I don't think we even have to know what it is, but just making the statement, I'm willing to let it go, is a good idea. The Michael Beck with Envisioning talks about, you know, there's those steps, those questions that you ask in the visioning process where you're asking for guidance about your life. One of those questions is, what do I need to release in order for this vision to be fulfilled? And he says, whatever you get in that question is what you take to prayer, because that's what's blocking this vision, this experience from manifesting. So I think that's a something to think about, you know, as far as taking something like that into the release step. The seventh one is take at least one step that moves you forward towards this experience. So there again, what small thing can you do? You know, could you make a phone call? Could you do a Google search? What, have a conversation that at least speaks this desire that you have about this prayer that you're putting out into the universe. Just one, if you could do just one small thing, and then that one small thing could lead to another small thing, and maybe then, you know, you may feel inspired to do something a little bigger, but to take action in some way. The 8-1, again, that sort of refers back to the being gentle, or nurturing yourself, being gentle with yourself, cut yourself some slack. You know, be the friend to yourself. Be that best friend to yourself. Don't push yourself so hard. Relax more. And then after you've cut yourself some slack, think about, after you've cut yourself some slack, think about cutting someone else some slack who you easily go into judgment over or you know, think they're not doing something right. You know, cut them some slack too, and it will make you feel better about yourself. And energetically, you know, it all starts on the spiritual realm. When you cut someone else some slack, energetically, that can change a relationship. It can shift things. I've known people who set their watch, and they have one of those fancy watches that you can set to go off every hour, and they use that. I bet you most of the fancy cell phones do that. Where you could set a gong to go off or something to remind you to just breathe for a moment, to remember who you are, to align yourself with that spiritual essence that is the very core of who you are. The 10th one is to use your spiritual practices to support your prayer. So there again, we have the visioning practice, we have meditation, reading inspirational books. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to support your prayer work with other spiritual practices. 11, ask the universe for a synchronistic sign. That's so fun. I love synchronicity. It just lights me up. And when you ask for something to show up in your life, it usually does. And I think in reality, the synchronicities are always there, but we're not paying attention. And so when we ask for a sign, then we're looking for it, and then we see what's already there. And it just makes me feel so special because it's like, aw, the universe brought me this amazing experience, this synchronicity, this matching up, you know, that the universe has lined this up for me. That's how I feel when it happens. It's very sweet. And then the last one, something I did not too long ago, is creating an altar with sacred objects. And, you know, you can have whatever you want on there. And then you can put your prayer requests on the altar. And it's just another kind of a ritual, kind of, it's a move your feet. It's making an action of, okay, I'm placing it here. It's an intention. It's an action with an intention. And I think that any time you take an action around your prayer, you're amplifying the energy of it. All right. So, so finding ways to feel worthy, finding ways to live prayerfully. You know, some people use mantras that sort of are in the background of their mind. Any of you that are familiar with the Ho'oponopono, the Hawaiian philosophy, where they repeat the phrases, thank you, I love you, I'm sorry, forgive me. That's living prayerfully. You know, in between your official prayers, it's that statement that's in the back of your mind that you can come to. It doesn't have to be that. It can be anything. The best ones would be the ones that you create that have meaning for you. Whatever it is. It's a brief, something brief, something short that you can remember, that you can repeat when you're sitting at a stoplight, or, you know, whenever you can, to just repeat that statement that affirms who you are, affirms something about why you're here, what you're willing to be, do, receive. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.